Welcome to Hot Lava Podcast. My name is Kevin Acey. I'm the Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. There's Jay Posner. Jay, I just see why you asked if I just woke up. Man, I'll tell you what, folks. If you're listening to this later rather than on this early episode of the Hot Lava, you don't get to see what my hair and my face looks like. And also, gosh, you miss every time. I'll tell you what, the pictures that John Kelly picks for the intro every time are just so spot on. And there was a Jorge Alfaro with what could be, Jay, a victory that turned a season.
Yeah, maybe. I think we should have a shout out to John since you mentioned him, because he said that he was at a bachelor party the last couple of days, and part of the bachelor party week or whatever included going to the game on Tuesday night.
Oh, wow.
Which was great, right? Great game. Except the guy they were honoring decided late in the game, nah, they're not going to win. We should leave. And so they left. They did end up watching it in a bar somewhere. And then he said someone tried to tell him, oh, this is better. Like, no, it's not better. It's
there not better not than being anything there. Like being at a walk-off.
Right. Right. So Wow. Anyway, we won't out. I don't even know the guy's name, but it's a friend of John's. There's a reason that the hat gets worn most weeks, besides the fact that I don't have the great hair that you have. Once upon a time, maybe, but not anymore.
Well, so. It is an off day for the Padres, and here we are. Thanks for joining us.
And for you, clearly.
The Padres have won 8 of 12. It is their best stretch in a long time. It is their best stretch offensively in a long time, and that's the big difference. It is not their best stretch pitching, but they're playing right. Good defense, which is important, and they are hitting the ball, and including the last two nights hitting the ball at Petco Park. How about that?
And hitting the ball over the fence at Petco Park.
That's the key right there. Well, yeah, I wouldn't have told you that was the key before, because this whole Petco Park nonsense, Petco Park does not rank last or anywhere near it, really, in home runs. And the Padres, I broke it down, Jay, where I looked at exit velocity, launch angle. They're hitting just as well or just as successfully in terms of home runs on the road as at home. But Petco Park, it is one of the worst. But the Padres weren't hitting well with runners in scoring position at home. They're not hitting well at home. They're not hitting doubles at home. It really is just they're just not a very good hitting team until the last couple nights.
Right. I mean, they hadn't scored in whatever it was, 14, 15 innings until the other night. They had that stretch. It's funny to hear you say that they've won 8 out of 12. That means they had won 6 out of 10, even after Monday night's game, coming off the 6-3 road trip. They got a Monday afternoon, evening, whatever. I guess it was an afternoon game. I was there. I tried to put it out of my memory. That was a terrible, terrible, terrible game. But
it really was.
As we know, it's baseball. It's one game. You know, the idea that this thing that always floats around about how they look flat and uninspired, every team looks flat and uninspired when they're not hitting. That's the biggest thing. I mean, they didn't just flip a switch on Tuesday night and start hitting. This team has always, you know, to use the great baseball cliche, they have battled. You don't see a lot of guys giving away at bats. Sometimes they have good at-bats and sometimes they don't. I mean, look, this offense is really tough to watch sometimes. They take way too many good pitches, as you've written about ad nauseum during the season. Nobody seems to have an answer for it. Whatever it is, they let a lot of pitches go by that it seems like they could hit. A lot of guys aren't performing up to either the expectations that people on the outside have for them or maybe they have for themselves. But, you know, as we talked about during the middle of that trip last week, they did win 6 out of 7. Or 5 out of 6, I guess it was, before going to LA. It was what they needed. They got the one win in LA, which assured them of being no worse than 6-3 on the trip, which I thought was very important. And look, Milwaukee, the Padres don't have to do that much. They have 24 games to go. As we record this, Milwaukee's playing a doubleheader today against the Giants that will bring them even with the Padres in terms of games played. So I guess they could close to as close as 2 behind if they were to win. Or no, it's 3 behind.
Yeah, they could gain one game. They can gain one game to get to 3 behind.
So they could get to 3 behind.
Which is technically 4.
Right. And they could go to 5 behind, which is technically 6 because of the tiebreaker. So, I mean, it's almost – I think Milwaukee has lost 21 out of 35 was the stat that I read today. They're making it much easier on the Phillies and the Padres to lock down those last 2 spots.
And that's been the whole thing. And I replied to a couple people. And then at some point when things get really bad, I can't catch up with the replies. But I would reply to emailers and say, in a vacuum, you may be correct that the Padres don't look like a playoff team, but it's absolutely not a vacuum, because the Brewers, yeah, if you were a Brewers fan, you'd be sending their beat writer emails saying this is not a playoff team. And well, here's the deal. One of them has to be a playoff team.
Yeah, so, and the Phillies too. The Phillies have been struggling, yes, a little bit more and are in a virtual tie with the Padres. So yeah, you're right. Two of those three teams have to make the playoffs. Then that makes them playoff teams. Now, whether that puts them at the same level as the Dodgers, the Mets, the Braves, and the Cardinals, no, they're not. Going into the playoffs, the Padres would be a decided underdog against any of those teams that they, yes, would play, not counting the Phillies, but any of those other teams that they would play, the Padres would be big underdog. But doesn't mean they can't win. Now, I'm not going to sit here now. I'm not going to sit here in 3 weeks and predict that they're going to beat X team or Y team or whatever. But to say that they don't have a chance is ludicrous, because it's baseball and it's the first series is three games. So, you know, look, the Nationals beat the Dodgers 2 out of 3 not that long ago. You can win a three-game series. Who knows what would happen in that time frame? Now, matching up against the Cardinals in a three-game series doesn't look so great right now. The Cardinals have been probably the best, them and the Dodgers have been the best two teams in baseball, I think, in recent weeks. The Dodgers have all year. So anyway, the idea, as we've said all along, get into the playoffs.
Actually, you know, one of the most successful, and I believe it was over a certain period of time behind the Dodgers, I think since the break, you know, the second most successful team in baseball was the Diamondbacks until the Padres juggernaut the last couple nights. But you're absolutely correct. And we're not talking about, look, I know what happened with Joe Musgrove this last start. I think it's 5 out of 7 starts have been quality starts, but the other two have not been good. And they're, if you go back beyond that to just before the break, and I believe right after the break, I get that there's reason to have concern about Joe Musgrove, but when they faced the Dodgers, they didn't line up. You know, Darvish, Snell, Musgrove. Do not discount that Blake Snell in the second half and in playoffs has been a fantastic pitcher. He has a history of that, including
especially against the Dodgers.
And against the Dodgers, so
don't discount. I was going to make one point real quick about Musgrove. Don't discount the idea that if the Padres can get this wrapped up, if the Brewers keep losing, and if the Padres can put together some wins and get this to a position where they don't have to be all out the last week of the season, they can start to get Musgrove and some of these other guys a little bit of a break. Musgrove looks like Musgrove, Manaea might be like this as well. Those guys look gassed to a point right now. Clevinger maybe, I mean, coming off Tommy John. So this is a situation where if you can start giving those guys another day or two, I mean, look, throw Reese Kinnear out there for a day. It doesn't make any difference. And buy Musgrove another day, only throw him 4 or 5 innings in a start, that kind of stuff. He could be a different pitcher. He could look more like, you know, early season Joe Musgrove when the playoffs come around.
And, you know, that's another place where Blake Snell comes into play, which is, you know, that's probably one of the guys. Darvish, who evidently is made out of something different than the rest of
them. Absolutely.
And Snell are the guys that aren't tired, right? Blake Snell didn't pitch a lot in the beginning, and he always, it's fascinating to talk to Blake Snell about how, you know, he's going into a contract year next year. And he's kind of tired of being this guy who stinks in the first half. Well, he just always gets stronger as the season goes on, and it'll be his goal to be strong all season next year. I'm not saying it's because of this, but, you know, next year, if he has a good year, could be very good for him.
And the
bank account. So that's something actually Padres fans should be ecstatic about. So, but for this year, you're absolutely right, Jay. And Bob Melvin has talked about it, that not that specific. He has not got into that, because you wouldn't expect the manager to say, hey, I'm going to get this thing wrapped up in a week. In terms of Blake Snell being able to help them, a full bullpen being able to help them pick up some of the slack. And I think that's something we'll get into here. If in fact they do are able to sort of get a little bit of a cushion. What do we got? We got 3 weeks, Jay. I'm a little afraid to look ahead.
If
you could get to that home stand,
nine
games.
There's actually 4 weeks left in the
Jay.
in the season. It's 24 games. The last game is 4 weeks from yesterday, which would be October 5.
That's right.
So it is 4 weeks. But you know, you've got three with the Dodgers this weekend, which we'll get into in a second. It might be three. It might not be three. As anybody who's been outside today knows, it's a strange day here. More strange weather coming. But you got that. Then you have the trip next week to Seattle and Arizona, which it's hard to find two more disparate cities, really, than Seattle and Phoenix. But good luck with that. And then it's a lot of home games. I mean, it's, you know, it's 12 out of 15.
Yeah.
At home after that with the one weekend trip to Coors. So now that's not necessarily a good thing, the way the Padres have hit sometimes at Petco. But again, got to be, you know, you can get some rest and at least get into the playoffs and then try to set yourself up to be the best version of yourself that you can be when the playoffs start. As you know, I don't buy any late season momentum nonsense or any of that. You can play well the last 2 weeks and it helps you going forward. It doesn't matter. Everything changes when the playoffs start, and they, you know, the idea is to get there. And I do think the last 10 days, and especially even the last couple nights, they took a big step toward being there. I mean, the Brewers, that game the other night where the Brewers blew a 5-run lead, Padres came back from 5 down, and then yesterday the Brewers losing again, Padres finding a way to win again. That's a big 2-game swing right there.
It is, and it's the kind of swing you may, I don't think either one of us are going to say you are or you will, but you may look back at where you say, just like you said it happened, and they showed the highlights out there on the big right field scoreboard, and as Bob Melvin said, that's a big scoreboard, so he knows everybody in the dugout has seen it. It showed that the Brewers had lost, and then obviously, you know, like last night, a couple of the guys were talking about, like, it's all the scores are all on the ribbon board. They know, they can say they're not scoreboard watching, but that doesn't mean they're not scoreboard seeing. So they know what's happening with the Brewers. They know who's chasing them. And that could be the way that they quote unquote responded. I don't know why they quote unquote, I'm the one saying it, but the way that they responded could be. Now there's the segue, except the Dodgers come to town.
Right.
And you got May, Urias, and Haney, which was supposed to be last week, right? It was supposed to be,
but then they changed
the bullpen game. And you know what? I'll tell you, I'll start here. We can say, oh, except the Dodgers are coming to town. I'm just telling you what the Padres are saying. They know that they've struggled against that bullpen, and they mounted a comeback against that bullpen last week. They're overlooking the fact, because it's not the offense's business, that Adrian Morejon then made that comeback moot by giving up 4 runs in the following inning. But they are, I don't know if thrilled is too strong. They are encouraged by the fact that they won that first one 7-1. All right. Okay. Didn't play well at all. Got blown out in the second game. And then they felt like they really had a chance to win that third one. And they did well against the bullpen. And okay, that sounds like loser talk, because that's not what the Dodgers talk about. The Dodgers talk about beating teams. What do you got?
Well, I think the biggest thing I got is that the guy who pitched the 7-1 game pitched yesterday. And so you're not going to see Yu Darvish this weekend against the Dodgers. And that's a big break for the Dodgers. You know, the Dodgers have hit Clevinger pretty well in the last month, faced him twice. And then Snell, who they have not hit very well, and then Musgrove pitches on Sunday. And again, this all depends on the weather. There is a hurricane off Baja California that's headed up that peninsula, and it's going to get pretty close to San Diego, and we're supposed to get some serious wind and some serious rain. And I just haven't seen, as we take this, haven't seen a really good breakdown of the timing of this and how long it's going to last. I did communicate with a guy who used to write about weather for the UT before he retired, Rob Creer, and he said pretty good chance he thinks of a rain out on Friday night. This thinks it's going to be a lot of rain during the day and the evening hours. Question then becomes Saturday. It looks a lot better Saturday night when I was looking earlier today, Saturday night and Sunday. My guess is, and Kevin, you can correct me if I'm wrong, my guess is they would not try to make up the game this weekend. Saturday's forecast seems too sketchy. Sunday would mean playing day-night doubleheader on a Sunday. They don't like to play Sunday nights. They really don't want to play Sunday night when Tom Brady and the Cowboys are on TV on the first Sunday night football game. I would think that the game would be made up either on Monday, the 26th of September, which is a mutual off day for the two teams before they start a 3-game series here at Petco, or they could take that day off and then play a day-night doubleheader on maybe even that Tuesday, you know, on that Tuesday or Wednesday of that week. That's total guessing. I haven't talked to anybody, but that would be my prediction, for what it's worth, is to, if there's a rainout tomorrow when that game get made up. And that would mean actually the Padres could give Musgrove an extra day's rest because they could go with Clevenger Saturday, Snell on Sunday.
It would actually be an extra 2 days rest because they have an off day on Monday.
That's right. That's right. So it's a couple days. And don't think that would hurt it. That I don't think that would hurt anybody at this point.
And here's a bonus. If you're playing four against the Dodgers at the end of September, they will have long ago clinched the NL West. Now, look, Trace Thompson could hit three bombs against you that day, so it doesn't really matter.
Well, and they could. And the thing is also, if there's only two games here this weekend, it does eliminate the possibility of the Dodgers clinching the division here on Sunday, which right now, if they were to sweep three games, they would be celebrating here at Petco on Sunday. So that's another situation that would be avoided. They would have to wait until Monday. And I did look, the Dodgers do play Monday in Phoenix, so there's no chance of that.
Right, it's the Monday before they begin that series. Is that correct?
It would be in 2 weeks.
Right, and then so like you said, either doing a four game or 4 day or 4-3, and that makes a lot more sense. And it is really bizarre that we are talking in such certain terms. I'm not saying that we're saying tomorrow, but like in San Diego, it's like when I first heard about this at the beginning of the week, I'm like, there's not going to be a fourth rainout at Petco. I think it's been three rainouts and seven delays or something like that ever. Now, here's the thing. You talk about the rain and how much there will be. This isn't like it is absolutely amazing to be in these Midwest ballparks and watch 4 inches of rain fall in 7 seconds. And like the field is underwater. People have scuba gear on. And a half hour later, play is resuming because of the way that the fields are made, the clay they use, the way that they've the drainage they have because they get so much rain. That's not the case at Petco. We get a half an inch of rain at 5 o'clock. You might not be playing that night because it's not built for that. There is a tarp. Bob Melvin confirmed that the other day, or he asked. He saw, is there even a tarp here? Yes. As a matter of fact, it was used last year in the rarest of all rarities. If you remember in Atlanta last year, we endured like a 12-hour rain delay.
Yeah.
And then because of COVID and what was allowed last year, they resumed the game in San Diego.
That's right.
And there was a rain delay at the start of that game. So, and that was one of the whatever it is, seven rain delays in the history of Petco Park. But there is a tarp, and I imagine it'll be out from the start tomorrow. But then it is a matter of, I haven't seen what time. I think the rain's supposed to start in the morning, but I don't know when it would end or all that. But it really
the last rain out here, May 7 of 2017.
Dodgers.
Before that, it was in July of 2015. I remember that was a freakish storm because I remember it was right at the start of the Del Mar race meeting. And then the first one was in April of 06. But there has not been, certainly has not been a rain out here in either August or September. But that does seem to be at least a possibility tomorrow. So if they play two or three games, whatever it might be, as I said, if it's three, it could be a Dodger celebration. I think the Dodgers just need one more win to wrap up the playoffs. I don't know. I haven't even seen that magic number.
I thought that magic number was one today.
Yeah, so it might be over. I guess it wouldn't be. Would it be with the Brewers losing?
I believe that's the deal, is that
So if the Brewers lose one of those games against the Giants, I think the Dodgers would already be in the playoffs. But anyway, the Padres, they did get a win last weekend. You saw it yourself against the Dodgers. Then it kind of went back to normal. They did not touch Arias the next night, and he's scheduled to pitch here this weekend. So
I can't decide whether the Dodgers should be like really proud of what they've done. And I'm being facetious because of course they should. It's really hard to win a World Series. Or with the domination that they have had over the past 10 seasons, embarrassed that their only World Series was in that silly season. Because it's unbelievable how good this team is.
Right. And you could probably say the same about the Braves, during that stretch where they won like 12 straight division titles or whatever it was. So
yes, absolutely.
It's just, but it goes to prove the point, get into the playoffs because you don't know what's going to happen. The best team does not always, and you could almost say, I don't want to say rarely, but let's just say the best team does not always win the World Series. Last year, I think, was a perfect example. So the Padres just need to get there. I'm trying to think what else. Josh Hader last night, thought he pitched pretty well. He got it. I mean, Ozokar made a really nice catch on the first ball, covered a lot of ground on a ball that was hit a long way. But You know, Hader look good. Robert Suarez has come back after missing a week, and I think had two good outings in a row out of the bullpen. You mentioned Tim Hill has in one of your notes the other day has what I can't even remember how many straight scoreless.
18 2/3 over 21 games, I believe it is. Yeah. I know it's 18 2/3, but 21 games. Nick Martinez pitched. He pitched all three games against the Diamondbacks. Now, he gave up it didn't really matter. I mean, he gave up, two runs in the opener? But he pitched Tuesday, and he pitched Wednesday against the Diamondbacks. That's pretty darn good. And this is one of those stats that sounds like, obscure baseball stat, but it's actually incredibly impressive. Last night, he got his fourth hold of the season. He has 8 saves. He started 10 games. He is the only pitcher in Major League history to do that, to start 10 games, have at least 8 saves and 4 holds. Like, what it does is it speaks to all the versatility and what he has provided this team. I mean, I feel real good that I was on that Nick Martinez train from the start. And here's why. Not from the start of spring training or the start of the season, because the guy couldn't throw strikes, but from the start of him going to the bullpen. And here's why. He was mad. That's not what he signed here for. And I love people that turn, being mad and situations where they could be little babies into positives. And now he's one of the heroes of this Padres season. I love that.
And I love the fact that he's a guy that it wasn't the role he wanted, but he adjusted to it. And now he'll take whatever role there is, he's in.
And watch him. That's not just words. You know that. Even if you're predisposed to say whatever. Yes, he's a starter. He told me the other day, I'm a starter. But that's not like code for I should be a starter. That's right. I'm a starter. But watch him out there. He loves pitching.
Now, the question I want you to ask Nick Martinez is, right before we started taping this, I saw that the Major League Baseball tomorrow is going to approve a pitch clock, bigger bases, and shift restrictions for next year. I don't care about the bases. I don't like the shift restrictions. I don't think they're necessary. I do like the pitch clock. At least I think I do if it's what I think it is. But you need to ask Nick Martinez about the pitch clock, because that guy holds the ball and holds the ball and holds the ball.
Well, he didn't as a starter. He didn't. Okay. He was fast. Now, that's really important here. Do you know how bad the Padres are? I know you do, Jay. I know that almost anybody who follows this team, and if you're reading what I write or whatever, you've seen it, the amount of bases that are stolen against this team. And so some of these guys have varied up their times to the plate. If you notice last night, I think it was Josh Rojas who mostly was on first base stealing possible situations. They threw over to first a lot. They varied that up quite a bit. There's just a lot of different things they're doing. And one of the things that Nick Martinez is doing, and look, there's a little more stress. Guys do that all the time when they go to the bullpen. But you know, that's just to talk about that. But you're absolutely right. How is this going to affect some of these relievers?
And Darvish is the other guy that, as we know, can take a while. I mean, not just to get assigned, but even after he gets assigned, and it works for him. I mean, he's one of the best pitchers of his generation, basically.
But Jay, number one thing. I don't know if you wanted to go on this tangent, but the pitch clock. I think we should have a national holiday. If this comes into it. And excuse me, I got to, as you guys know, I just woke up. So I'm going to plug in my computer so we don't lose the juice.
That's good. That's good. It's good to be prepared.
That day was more important than the awkwardness of leaving the screen to plug in my computer. I felt that going dark and leaving you alone would be unacceptable. And good thing that I'm wearing pants, as I don't always, because I just walked across the screen. So, Jay.
No, that's good. How are you on the where are you on the shift on the
I'm opposite you, and that is I believe that as in opposite you, Jay, not you, Darvish, who we were just talking about. That joke never gets old. And I want hits to be hits. I'm not Nick Canepa, okay? I'm not, but hitters, especially ones who can't hit against the shift, are thrilled that there will be some restrictions.
Okay, well, you can be wrong. If you want to be on Nick's side, then you can be wrong. So that's that's fine. Just what you want to do is be on Nick's side on something. Go right ahead. Go right ahead with that.
I just I do worry that some of these rules are going to counterbalance each other, right? That's great. We're going to have more hits now. That means longer games. But pitch clock is number one. These guys holding the ball for 30, 45 seconds it think about this, all right? There's 200 pitches a game, or there's more than that a game. That's huge.
No, I mean, the minor leagues have cut a lot of time out of it. I had lunch the other day with a guy who is involved with a minor league team, and he said their concessionaires have been complaining this year because the games got so much shorter, and it was, you know, that's like another round of beers for a lot of people that they aren't that people aren't buying. And so I think that's look, the games need to be
yes.
Most games need to be quicker.
Most games do, because even some of these 2 hours, the Padres have played a few under three lately, but they haven't. It surprised me, most of them. Not that one at Dodger Stadium, but most of them have surprised me because the pace is still. It's the pace, not the length. Yeah. This will cut time off at the end, too. You see these 13-9 or 19-12 games in the Pacific Coast League coming in at 230, 240. How's that possible? There's plenty of offense. I don't think anybody was bored, probably. But pitch clock. Now, that also then, these all play off each other. You got bigger bases, right? Maybe more guys on because of the shift restriction. Pitchers having to go quicker. There's going to be more stolen bases. Like,
oh, no, that's not good for the Padres, though, Kevin. I mean, I know they threw out a guy last night or had a
had he deserved a guy to be thrown out. That was just karma because he was running to third base.
And then the Padres even stole a base, although he would have been out with a halfway decent throw.
In no world did they expect they would be stealing that base. They expected Manny Machado would make contact.
Yeah, right. So anyway, the one thing I did see about the shift real quick is I had seen one part of the shift proposal that there was going to be like a pie-shaped area around second base where you couldn't stand. But the proposal I read real quick before we started this on the Athletic site was that it was just you have to have two guys on each side of the base. Well, that tells me that third guy can stand basically in the middle of the field. I mean, you have to be one step over.
Which
that's
is
not
still,
that much different than they're exactly doing now. The biggest difference is you can't put the guy in short right field. You have to have guys on the dirt.
And there's my guy. Like, look, I'm not talking about, yes, for years, oh, ball up the middle, that's going to be a hit, right?
Yeah, that's okay, still going to not change.
Figure out how to do it. There is some element of that. I just think the pitching has got so good that it really is, and hitters will say this, and of course they will. They're a little biased. But it's just different. It's just really hard to hit in this league. But that shallow right field thing, I don't know. I feel like there should be some more hits there. Yeah, you are not even just grounders. A lot of times line drives at 106 miles an hour and you're out. And I look forward to a few more hits that way. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. We'll let you say that. Well, I'll even let you have the last word on that. And we did just
probably because I just swayed you, Jay.
No, don't get me started. Just take the last word, Kevin. I'm giving you the last word. So take that and we'll see what happens this weekend. We hope whatever you do, stay safe out there, and we will come back and talk on Tuesday, and you will be in a hotel in Seattle, I believe.
Yes, I will. I'll be cool. And then the next podcast, I'll be in Phoenix. Thanks, everybody.